Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board this wet Friday morning. It's a delight of ours to have you join us on Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so not based on denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, regulations. It's not based on some political, ideological bent, but it's based on the authority of Scripture. There's no better place to have our foundation than in the Word of God. Let me commend it to you. Study the Word, know the Word, inculcate the Word in your heart and your life. Allow the Word of God to be the light unto our pathway and the lamp unto our feet. Allow the Scripture to direct our decisions in everything that we do and say in life. I commend that approach to you. It's called a biblical worldview. And as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not based on what others may say, think, or do. And let me remind you once again that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture and understanding that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And when I say government, I'm talking about the governmental system. We call it politics today. God created the governmental system. You find the first act of governmental system interacting with humanity in Genesis, the 9th chapter, where God created and spoke into existence, if you will, found recorded in Genesis chapter 9, the capital punishment law as we have it today. You take a person's life, you give your life for it. And then in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, we find very clearly outlined there that government is God's agent, God's servant, serving God in prosecuting evil and protecting good, and that's what God has called government to do. And by the way, we find that government's way out of hand with being a servant of God today, and we'll talk about that at some point in the future. But I want us to understand as we face the issues today, we do so with a biblical worldview. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that you can join this dialogue and discussion at any point during the course of this hour. Yes, we're on 1 hour. We begin at 11:30 each day, go till 12:30. There's a few moments break for news at the top of the hour, and so therefore we'll break away at the top of the hour for about 1 minute for station identification and for the news. Then we'll come back on. So at the 12 o'clock hour, don't you dare leave us. I want you to hang in there. Continue with us today for the whole hour, and that is the new schedule for us on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. So we're looking forward to having you join with us. And at any point during the dialogue and discussion, you can ask your questions, jump in with your comments by dialing 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can entertain your question and comment. Keep in mind, this broadcast is designed around the Q&A format. That is, we're inviting you, our listening audience, to become part of the program. You can inject your thoughts. Sometimes you might disagree. We're not going to be disagreeable with you, but we're going to try to sustain the idea that we look at the Scripture for the first, foremost, and final authority for whatever we think, say, or do. So let me, first of all, before we get into the monologue, then the dialogue and discussion, we'll be talking about today a question that I have enjoyed this question, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for many, many, many years. It comes from Francis Schaeffer, the British theologian. Francis Schaeffer, in one of his books, and he originated it with a 16-millimeter old movie back in the early 60s entitled How Should We Then Live? And I like to think of it on that basis when we look at the things swirling around us in America and around the globe, when we see those things that affect our lives, the life of churches and Christians and pastors and the moral, ethical community, then the question begs to be asked and answered, how should we then live? But before we get into that dialogue, monologue, and discussion, let me remind you We'd love to have you worship with us this Sunday. 9:30 Sunday morning is the Bible study hour. At 10:45 is the morning worship, and at 7 p.m. is the evening worship. If you're looking for a church home where the gospel is proclaimed without favor or without fear, you're looking for a place where the gospel is proclaimed verse by verse and chapter by chapter throughout the scripture. If you're looking for a church where singing honors God, lifts up the name of Jesus Christ, and you can hear the words of the song, isn't that unusual? That's a little unusual in the current marketplace of ideas and thoughts, especially about worship today. But that's where we are. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 1 mile south of I-295. We'd love to have you as our special guest. Bible study at 9:30 and morning worship service at 10:45 and then at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. Multitudes of you we have met by way of radio. We'd love to meet you in person. It'd be our delight to have you worship with us even this Sunday morning. Looking forward to that. And one little thing added to that that I'd like to say also, you know, we have Conservative Theological University is one of the ministries here on campus, right here in Jacksonville. CTU's been in existence since 1982, and we've had the privilege of training hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of those that are serving the Lord today in the state of Florida and around the globe in every area of ministry. Some Christian counseling, some Christian education, others in missionaries, others as pastors, Christian leaders in some capacity. We'd love to have you consider enrolling with us for this fall. We'll have two classes taught during the course of the fall semester starting in September. Dr. Phelps sits on the microphone with me today. Dr. Phelps will be teaching Paul's missionary journeys. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Paul's missionary journeys, why is it important to understand that? He'll tell us, give us a little blurb about that in just a moment. And I'll be teaching what is called hamartiology and soteriology. If you put it in the current English vernacular, we're talking about sin and salvation. What is sin? What does the Bible say about sin? And what does the Bible say about salvation? How is one saved? Are we saved by being a good person? Are we saved by being a good husband, wife, son, or daughter? Are we saved by being American? Are we saved by simply obeying the letter of the law? Are we saved by doing good works? How are we saved? What does the Bible say? It'll be a 16-week course, 3 hours each week. All of our courses are taught at night because many of our pastors and Christian leaders and Sunday school teachers and deacons and others are in full-time work so that they produce their income bivocationally serving the Lord. Others are full-time in ministry and cannot take time away from ministry other than in night classes. We have the night classes 3 hours per week in each of the classes. It'd be a 16-week course. Generally, the lectures go for about 14 weeks, and then test time and the final wrap-up week. We'd love to have you. And let me say you can dial 1-800-GO-BIBLE, 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Leave your contact information for someone to get back with you and talk about your enrollment for the fall semester. And may I remind you also, there are a number of opportunities for you to get your college education and your theological training, biblical training, whereby you can do something that you have gifts, talents, and abilities for, that you can do that on campus or away from campus, but in some way serving the Lord in a benefit fashion for the ministry here of Conservative Theological University in exchange for your tuition. There are a number of opportunities for you. And then there's also opportunities for those that have your honorable discharge with the DD-214s from your veteran services that will offer you, we'll be able to offer you anywhere from 25 to 50% discount on your college tuition as a result of that. But in either case, let me remind you that you need to jump on board. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a deacon, if you're involved in any phase or facet of ministry and you're interested in, looking forward to, expanding your biblical theological training, we'd love to have you consider Conservative Theological University guests. We have a liberal transferability program for you to be able to transfer any credits that you have with other institutions that will transfer in and go toward your credits that's required for your associate's degree, bachelor's degree, master of arts degree, master of divinity, or your doctoral degree. We have 5 different doctoral programs. So we'd love to have you. 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Dr. Phelps, tell us just a little bit about, let our listeners understand, what is Paul's missionary journey about, and why should students out there, potential students, be interested in it?
One of the wonderful things that we learn from scriptures is that God saved and called a man called Saul of Tarsus.
Yes.
Made him a preacher, and he is known as Paul the Apostle. And he was sent forth from his home church, he and Barnabas, while they were Antioch, church at Antioch. They sent him forth, and they went out as missionaries then to win the lost with the glorious gospel of Christ. And this course will trace his journeys and churches that he formed and the messages that he preached.
We're looking forward to that, Dr. Phelps. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of our today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time, an outdoor power equipment dealership specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to start up your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time also carries equipment for homeowners with brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment that would be available. Also, they have the full-time Honda and other lines of generators, and they have a staff that's knowledgeable of what they're talking about with the equipment that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment, especially for that hurricane season. Tools for Time, located at I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, or you can go to toolsfortime.com. Look them up on toolsfortime.com, and the location, again, is at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. Dr. Phelps, when we think about some of the conditions in society today, I want us to think, first of all, and may I say, ladies and gentlemen, our hearts go out to with condolences to the Kennedy family and the loss of Robert Fitzgerald Kennedy's granddaughter. Age of 22, was found dead at the Kennedy family compound. And according to the articles that I read online this morning and some of the news on early morning news, it's believed that she died from a drug overdose. Dr. Phelps, this story is one that not only is it sad, but it's one that literally is a story that can be recited day after day after day. I'm looking at the headlines here on that. RFK's granddaughter found dead at the family compound. And the article says, here's the family write-up. Our hearts are shattered by the loss of our beloved granddaughter. The family statement said, her life was filled with hope, promise, and love. She cared deeply about friends and family, especially her mother, Courtney, and her father, Paul, her stepmother, Stephanie, and her grandmother, Ethel. And the article continues about some family background and connectivity there. Dr. Phelps, this story is not isolated. We are saddened for the family, and our hearts go out to them with a loss that's so tragic like this, and especially at the age of 22. But across America, ladies and gentlemen, daily, there are tragic stories just like this. Suicide, murders, families destroyed, and lives changed. And it's all because of drugs, Dr. Phelps. Perhaps you've heard me, ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast many, many times in the past several years. I've talked about the carnage that's caused in America as a result of drugs. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, today we have 33 states. You heard me right. 33 states that have legalized drugs. And may I say this, every recognized report on marijuana point to the fact that it is harmful, it's dangerous, and it can have deadly consequences. We have a drug-crazed society today, and I am concerned about it, ladies and gentlemen. In today's broadcast, we're going to talk about basically three epidemics, the drug epidemic, the abortion epidemic, and the sodomite epidemic. And those are three epidemics, ladies and gentlemen, that should force us to think, how should we then live? What should we do? How should we respond to this in our society? Officially, we are spending today, Dr. Phelps, billions of dollars, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars on what they call the opioid crisis. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very, very carefully. There have been dozens and dozens and dozens of so-called studies about marijuana and its effect on human beings. Overwhelming majority of those studies have been bought, paid for, and produced in accordance to what the pot industry and the pot growers and the pot sellers have wanted that article or that survey or that study to show. Drug bought, drug paid for, therefore it's biased. There's only been two or three real studies about the drug epidemic in America in the past several years. Marijuana, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is the gateway to every one of the drugs, whether it be heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, or the opioids today. It's a gateway drug that opens the doors Dr. Phillips, we're going to talk about it in just a moment, but let me just let our listeners listen to a whole litany of the things that, according to research and study, according to the best studies that have been put out, and I'm talking about best when I say that, I'm talking about studies that have been done free of the control of the marijuana, the pot industry in America. It causes the loss of jobs. Marijuana causes brain damage, burden on society, heart attacks, lung diseases, schizophrenia, suicide. And ladies and gentlemen, this 22-year-old Kennedy granddaughter, it was a drug overdose. But you go back and you study some of the things about her life, and since about the age 16, she said she lived a life of depression just about every day. Depression. We don't know all that that connotes, but we do know that the end result has been devastating for the family. We're talking about drugs, ladies and gentlemen, just marijuana, and it is the gateway to all other drugs. It causes family divisions. It causes foreclosures. In fact, you can go and look at the statistics for the state of Colorado and find that foreclosures have gone up like 123% because they buy drugs rather than paying mortgage payments or rent. It causes depression, mental illness, schizophrenia, psychosis, produces suicide, and teen addiction that you would never believe. In fact, I've done the research on Oregon, California, Colorado, and other main states across America that have legalized it. In fact, former governor of the state of Colorado, Lupenhamer or whatever his name is, I've forgotten, that was the former governor of Colorado, is now one of the candidates for the presidential candidate on the Democratic side. Prior to the last 6 months in office, he had said, we need to go back and reconsider our laws in Colorado that's allowing this devastation for the citizens, for the state of Colorado. States like Colorado now face a skyrocketing crime spree. Car crashes, emergency rooms are loaded, social services are overburdened. They're producing and selling marijuana-laced cookies, gummy bears, gum, chewing gum, bubble gum, chocolate bars, brownies, even in makeup and lipstick and lotions, soft drinks and other ways of delivery for the marijuana. As a result of that, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of preteens and teens are rushed to the emergency room every month in the state of Colorado. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says smoking just 1 ounce as teens can change your brain. One of the rages these days is from the states that legalize marijuana for medical use or recreational use. After all, they can become part of a new cool society started by states like Colorado, which stunningly made that move 5 years ago already. After all, look at the tax revenue it produced. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of California, it produces $5.5 billion a year in revenue, tax revenue. That's what's driving it. They could care less about the citizens. This article says, but there are some storm clouds on the horizon, one of them being a new study, which, according to the Burlington Free Press, has found that even small amounts of the chemical in marijuana can change a teen's brain forever. Now, Dr. Phelps, I don't know about our listeners, but that's frightening to me to think about. Then let's ask the question, Dr. Phelps. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in Conservative Theological University teaching Bible and biblical doctrine. He'll be teaching the course Paul's Missionary Journeys, as we discussed just a few minutes ago. Dr. Phelps, I'm going to ask that question, Francis Schaeffer, how should we then live? Based on what we see with this epidemic, number one epidemic I'm talking about, that being drugs, what does the Bible say? What should Christians think on? How should we direct their thinking today?
One of the things that I learned as I study the scriptures is that Christians are to think of themselves as being the temple of God.
Yes.
Our body is not our own. It belongs to God. And God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 16, know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And so we believe as Christians that we should have respect for our body, the yes. temple of God, take care of it. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, here are some words that I want to read telling us then how that we should be separate from the world and not be a follower of those then who bring harm to their body. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So those are some words of instruction that we need to apply to our lives, our personal lives, and incorporate into our family life and the way that we live.
Absolutely. Dr. Phelps, one of the things that I find that's causes great consternation for me, and that is that multitudes of Christians, whether it be the younger generation known as the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, generally speaking, multitudes of Christians believe that if something is legal, that it's biblical. If it is legal, it's all right. And as a result of that, Dr. Phelps, I find in the millennials in particular, and out of a George Barner report on millennials, the Barner report says that only 4% of the millennials have a biblical worldview. That is, out of all the millennials in the nation, 4% of them have a biblical worldview. That is, they believe the Bible is the first, foremost, and final direction for our lives. But there's a scary aspect of that. Out of that 4%, some 47%, I believe the Barner report says, believe that drinking's all right, smoking pot's all right, sodomite marriage is okay, et cetera, et cetera. And they believe those things, according to the report, because they're deemed legal in America. And because they're legal, it's viewed as being okay. What is it? How should we view that, Dr. Phelps? I'm wanting our listeners to understand today. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Dr. Phelps today. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear your input. Love to hear your questions. Perhaps you have a question about what we're talking about, and you're looking for an answer. Perhaps you're dilemmified with it. Perhaps you have someone that you know, someone that's in your family, someone that's in your church, that's involved in the drug-crazed world today, and you're wondering, what should we do? Dr. Phelps, how do we respond to those that say, well, it's legal? What is the biblical response that we ought to give them in relationship to that dogmatic statement? And multitudes will not say that, but they think that. How do we minister to them? How do we reach them? How do we have a change and inculcate that change in their lives?
We believe that the Bible teaches us as Christians that we should be followers of God as dear children. That is, we should allow the Word of God to direct our lives. We should be followers of God as those who have trusted in Christ and to walk according to God's Word. God tells us, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is," in Ephesians chapter 5. So he says in that same chapter, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it be not once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man therefore deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So we're to walk in ways that honor God.
To honor God, and Dr. Phelps, back in 2016, the November election, that was on the ballot in the state of Florida, a referendum that changed our state constitution to allow marijuana to be sold for medicinal purposes, medical purposes, supposedly. That referendum passed by 71%. That included, without any equivocation, multitudes of Christians. And I say that because right now, in the state of Florida, it's unpublicized, it's kind of under the radar, they're pushing a referendum for 2020 November election that will make marijuana legal on a recreational basis. They already have some 77,000 signatures. They need 677,000 to get it on the ballot. But to pass muster, it has to be examined by the U.S. Supreme Court. I mean, the Florida Supreme Court. That's already before the Florida Supreme Court now with 77,000 petition signatures. And so eventually, and I believe that it will pass, I'm saddened to say, but if it goes on the same track that it did in the 2016 with the medical marijuana, it'll pass. And even here in the city of Jacksonville, there's a move to legalize pot. They're calling it to decriminalize. If you decriminalize something, that means you've legalized it. And Dennis Garrett has a bill in the city council that will decriminalize pot. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get us to understand is there's a vast difference in what the world says and does and what the church, the body of Christ, the ones that are Christians, what we ought to do and how we ought to respond. We cannot look at the way of the world. We cannot allow our lives to be modeled in the way of the world. The Apostle Paul said, for example, mimic me, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be the model, the prototype for our lives and for our living. And if we do that, we'll be following a biblical worldview. Dr. Phelps, we got about a minute and a half before our break for our station ID and news time. What would you like to say as we wrap up that epidemic number one? We're talking about the epidemic of drugs. Share with us briefly.
One of the things that I have learned by experience is that God tells us that we can have wisdom for our actions. And something happened recently. Last time I was out at the precinct to vote, I was asked to put my name on a referendum. And I explained to the precinct worker that I don't do that. We have a legislature there in Tallahassee to make laws.
Amen.
And they know better about that, about making laws, than the average citizen. The average citizen sometimes votes without any knowledge of what he's voting into law. And so that's unwise for people to do things that way when we have a state constitution.
Yes, we have a constitutional republic. That's our form of government with a representative form where our representatives make those decisions. But ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place today across America, and especially in the state of Florida, we're making Swiss cheese out of our Constitution. We're making legislative decisions, i.e. by fiat, by constitutional amendment. And once it's in a constitutional amendment, it becomes law forever. You can't go back and change it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we take this break, we'll be back in 1 minute after the news to come back with Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.